Okay, here I am. This is Amy Kitchener interviewing Alice Ito at her home in Silver Lake, and today is August 3rd, 1993. When and where were you born?
Right here in Los Angeles.
And what year was that?
1919.
Wow. And what is your full name?
Ito Alice Ito. My maiden name was Kuromi, K-U-R-O-M-I, one of the old-time families here in Los Angeles. My parents came here in 1906, and they're almost like nieces because they were here with, my mother was with her uncle and in Hermosa Beach area. And he also was a flower grower. And
what year then did your mother's family come?
She came in 1906, which was the year of the earthquake in San Francisco. And my father, I believe, came a few years before then. And so they both, of course, they weren't married at that time, but we have this, it was a mission then, St. Mary's Church, which was founded even before then, and that's where they were married.
Uh-huh. Well, did they both come to Los Angeles when they first came to this country?
Oh, yes.
And what part of the city were they living in?
Well, they were right, what they used to call Uptown Los Angeles. Which was close to the church in those days. Olympic Boulevard was known as 10th Street, and it was between Normandy and Vermont, and much of the Asians resided there.
What do we call that area now?
They used to call it Uptown, and right now I imagine it's still in the Uptown area. I really don't know whether they have any other name for that district.
And both of your parents lived in that area?
Yes.
And do you know why they came to the United States?
That's a good question, because from where they had lived in the countryside, clear on the Japan Sea area, Shimoneken was not an area that was closer to the major cities where they could get transportation to anywhere. And to this day, it's hard to know why they ever decided to venture out.
Were they both from the same area in
Japan?
Yes,
they were both from the same area.
Did they know each other there?
Yes, I believe they did as kids.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so they both came to Los Angeles about 1906. How old would they be when they immigrated?
Mother was 5 years old, I believe. So it's like
they as children.
Yes.
Oh, I see. That's why you say they were like nisei.
Mm-hmm.
Because their parents brought the families, and they really pretty much grew up here their whole lives.
That's right. My grandfather used to come and go. And one of the first trips he made, he brought mother with him.
What did your grandfather do? This is your maternal grandfather.
Yes. In Japan, actually, he was retired. He used to live here, and he decided he's going to retire in Japan. And when he found that there were much better chances for his children, he brought all three of them, and then mother stayed here, and the others he took back again.
Really? So the family was sort of was living in two places at the
That's
same time?
Right.
Was that common, do you think?
Oh, or? I think so.
The first generation that came maintained very strong ties?
Yes, definitely.
What business was your grandfather involved in?
Oh, back there, I would just say, since his retirement, it was just nothing in particular.
But here in Los Angeles?
He used to have a boarding house on East 1st Street, which is Little Tokyo now. And that's where the children were until he decided that mother should be with the uncle in Hermosa Redondo area. And so that's where her flower growing experience began.
For your mother?
Mm-hmm.
So the uncle was in the flower business?
The other two, the sister and brother, who eventually became florists here, they were taken back to Japan when Grandpa went back. But she remained with her uncle, and he grew flowers for quite some time. And then he retired, went back, and then she was on her own here. She went to all these, there's an Amelia Street School, which is on Vignes, some of the areas that are very historical, and continued school until she was married.
And so how did she go into the flower business, and where was it located? Was it with her husband, with your grandfather?
Yes, it was mostly flower growing. And they started in Hollywood, and then they decided that Montebello had better opportunities for growing and expansion. But after a few years of it, they decided Hollywood was much better for them. And so they were there and until the evacuation. Since 1917, that's where they were.
I see. And is that... So they were growers. How did their business work? They sold to...
There's a wholesale market on Wall Street, which is still one of the main places for the growers to bring in their crop, and that's where they took the flowers. In those days, it was every day and not just 2-3 times a week, the major flower buyers' days. And of course, because of no refrigeration, why they picked and sent them to the market every day, and with horse and buggy in those days.
So what year is this
about? They started in 1917 growing on the Hollywood hills, and so it must be... Well, before then, let me tell you that the red cars that used to run the line between Los Angeles and Redondo, Hermosa area, from the farm where they grew, the horse and buggy would take them right to the train station, to this red car line, and these large baskets of flowers would be loaded on. And in those days, the flower market was on Spring Street, which was, I think, the end of the line. And so they unloaded their wares, and the market was in that area in the beginning.
What kind of flowers were they growing?
Mainly sweet peas in those days.
That was a popular,
yes,
they were cut flowers.
Yes, very much so. And other small cut flowers, nothing major.
And... Did they buy the land in the Hollywood Hills where the flower farm was?
No, this was an estate which could not be subdivided, and it remained that it was supposed to be one of these 99-year lease, and which was just released in 1961 when it sold as a 77-acre piece of property. It was just a month-to-month basis.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the location that's near where Griffith Park is now?
It's between Ferndale Park, which is Western, and Nottingham, And of course, in those days, the area was lemons and olive ranches. And there were very few homes. And we have pictures of Nottingham, very sparsely residential. And of course, now there isn't a lot to be held.
Now, so do you remember that farm there? And as a child, would you go there?
Oh, yes. It's, of course, now the estates have been built into beautiful homes, terraced all the way to the foothills. Mm-hmm. But that's where we grew the flowers. And even on the parkway, flowers were able to grow and flourish. But now, of course, with pollution, it would be impossible.
So the flowers need a very particular kind of environment?
Oh, yes. We had wonderful... actually, the flower growers in many other areas envied us because this Hollywood area was free of pollution and it was just the right climate to grow.
Did you continue growing sweet peas, or were there other?
Oh, we had many others. By then, we had the chrysanthemum crops, the carnations, ranunculus, many other flowers that were very much in demand.
Do you find that sort of fashions change over time in terms of what the demand was?
Oh, yes. Very slowly. Now it's more so. People have gone into many other exotic flowers, but there is a revival of interest as far as the types of flowers. I think we've gone into the country type arrangements, which demands more flowers that are relaxed, like larkspur and delphiniums and cosmos, and some of the old-fashioned flowers are coming back.
Now, let's see, how about on the other side of your family? It was your mother's father who first came here.
Yes.
And then your father, what were his circumstances for coming to the United States?
I believe way back then, before the flower growing, he may have been gardening. You know, we just never talked about that, but that was before he was married.
And what year were they married, your parents, do you remember?
Oh, that's a good question. I never did ask.
And you were mentioning the church where they were married.
Yes.
Where was that? What was it
it's
called?
It's right on Mariposa between San Marino and what is now Olympic.
And it's called?
St. Mary's Episcopal Church.
Uh-huh. Okay. Was the Japanese-American community very large during this time?
It was
when you were growing up?
Quite a gathering place in those days, and it, of course, with the ethnic groups now, the climate has changed quite a bit.
How so?
Well, we have many of the different Asian countries represented in that area now, the Filipino community. Well, there's a real good melting pot right in that same uptown area.
And where did you grow up here in the city? Where was the family home?
Right there on Los Feliz. We were raised there, right on the same property that we were growing flowers.
Oh.
The house was there. The packing house was there. So... as kids, we just roamed the area, and we were right in amongst the flowers.
I think we have some photographs with very young children there at the flower farm.
Yes,
that we copied.
Yeah. There's certainly, and the schools were close by.
What school did you go to?
The Los Feliz Elementary School, which is still there in the same place on Hollywood Boulevard in New Hampshire. And then from there, the junior high school was Thomas Starr King, and then John Marshall High School, and Hollywood High, which I finished.
Uh-huh. What do you remember about going to school as a young girl?
In what area? There weren't, I can't remember hardly any other Asian group. Or as a Japanese American, I believe I was about the only one among all the Caucasians.
What was that like for you?
Well, it didn't bother me at all, but now that I look back on it, there just weren't any other Asian families in that area.
And do you have other brothers and sisters?
Yes, two brothers. One is gone now, but one still has his garage business on Hillhurst. Now his two sons have taken over.
And were they older or younger than you?
They're younger.
It's amazing that your family stayed so close in this area.
Yes, we have just lived and been raised right there, gone to school, and we still think it's one of the nicer areas in the whole city.
Now, during this time, did you go to other parts of the city? Do you remember downtown, or was Little Tokyo? Was that some place that you went?
For shopping, as we became teenagers and so forth, downtown Broadway was quite the place to go. And it was lots of fun. We just took the red car, and there we were, because that was the end of the line. And all the department stores in those days, they were wonderful. And they were all there, May Company, Broadway, Bullocks, all in the same area. And my mother used to talk about when May Company first opened, it used to be called a hamburger store. And Mr. and Mrs. Hamburger had a very large estate on North Vermont, north of Los Feliz. And of course, that estate has been subdivided now with many, many homes, but at that time, it was one large estate with their home on the hillside. And it was quite the thing for, that was one of the major department stores to be built in Los Angeles, and she still remembers that it was quite an event.
And what else do you remember about downtown?
Oh, it was clean. It was a joy to go down there. Now I wouldn't venture on any of the streets down there.
Was that like taking a big trip to go from the family home up on Los Feliz to go down there? Or?
Yes. Naturally, being a student, we didn't have too much to spend, but the car fares were reasonable. I believe it was a nickel. And the red cars were one of the main vehicles. We just didn't have any other means. There were no buses. Well, maybe there were buses, but I never took them because the red cars were so convenient.
Do you remember Little Tokyo?
Yes, Little Tokyo was, it was interesting to us. And as we grew up, the family used to go down there, and we'd go to some of the Chinese eating places. And that was a real treat.
Let's see. Oh, what did you do for entertainment when you were growing up?
Well, the family was so busy in their flower growing that we really didn't have too much to look forward to. Like on weekends, they were busier than most families because the market was next day on Monday. So Sundays were their working day. And every so often, we pack a picnic lunch and go either to the beach or to the park. But it's very seldom.
Which beach did you go to?
At that time, what is now Marina Del Rey used to be Del Rey Beach. And many of the Japanese families used to go down there and have their little picnics. And what I think, it had a little canal there, and that's where we used to find other Japanese American families. And then another place was the, which is now San Pedro area, they used to call White Point. And down the rocky, craggy cliffs, we would walk down and find a spot. They used to do a little fishing and abalone hunting, and it was quite the place to be because they used to have many of the prefecture picnics there. Prefectures from Japan, that was a big thing in those days, big picnics.
Was your family a member of this organization?
Yes, our prefecture, Shimane-ken, was not too popular, not like the Hiroshima-ken or other large numbers that came out for this picnic were from other areas of Japan. But we used to join in with some of the others that were adjacent to our prefecture.
And so how is membership determined then?
Oh, it was just anyone that came from that prefecture. They were all, it would be one day of not only picnicking, but they'd have their cultural, their dances from the region, and the food, and it was really something that we looked forward to because it was all new to us.
To determine which prefecture you would be in would be from where your family was from in Japan.
That's right.
I see. So this was a way that you learned some of the traditions there?
Yes, definitely.
Like which ones?
Well, there are certain dances from every region, and that was really quite, they set up a stage, and they all wear the costumes of that area, and very colorful, and the musicians were there to accompany the dances, and there were songs that we had never heard before. So it was almost like being back there in Japan at that time, I believe, because they brought all of these traditions and music over here, and everyone was exposed to it.
Now, would these be the same kinds of events that the prefecture would hold in Japan?
No.
Or then at that time,
oh, yes.
And they were recreating that here in the United States? Would the membership be, was it primarily Issei?
Yes, very much so.
Now, did the these organizations continue within Issei?
No, not too much. I think some of the major ones still probably get together here, but we don't hear of them as much as in those days.
Were there other organizations, important organizations for Japanese and Japanese Americans?
Not as kids, we just didn't mingle.
That one, and your parents were active in that group?
They weren't active, we were just invited to be part of the group.
I see.
And it was a real treat.
Before, you were talking about the beaches at San Pedro and around Marina Del Rey, and you said that was where most of the Japanese Americans went to the beach. Was there a particular reason you know, for that location, for those beaches?
Not really. I think you hear of certain families that have enjoyed themselves, and as more and more, it just became a popular area.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I was just remembering San Pedro. There were many Japanese American in the fishing industry.
Exactly. That's right.
Huh. Did your family have many employees at the flower farm?
We had many from Japan. They came as couples, and they were looking for jobs, and these were people that helped us on the ranch to pick the flowers and to grow the growing process. It was mainly people that were really hard labor type.
And where did they stay when they came here?
We had little houses along the same area where we had our packing house.
And we stayed there, and then were they all self-sufficient, the little houses, or
yes.
Was there like a common kitchen or
meals? No, they
meals?
All had their own little kitchens. Very crude, I would say, looking back at that time. It was not anything that you would see nowadays.
Did you, as a child, work on the farm?
Not really.
You were mostly going to school?
Yes,
or
just playing.
Mm-hmm. And who were your friends, your closest friends?
In the grammar school stage, or?
Up till, you know, your teens. I mean, do you remember, as a teenager, for instance?
I think it mostly comes back as sports, because we were interested in gym. And at that time, there are just certain numbers that we stayed close to that enjoyed the sport, and whether it was baseball or basketball.
And did your family ever go on vacation?
No, there was no such thing at that time.
Did you take day trips, like when you went to the beach? Were there other places that was sort of, you remember as it being a big treat to go to?
Yes, the one-day excursion was driving all the way down to San Pedro, where the large, in those days there were no planes. If Grandpa was going back to Japan, it was by boat. And so we would see him off, but we took our picnic lunch, and it was really an all-day affair to get down there and back.
So your grandfather was going back and forth often?
Yes, quite a few times. I would say during the year he may have come once or twice.
Was he the one who, he owned different buildings, or?
Yes, he decided he was going to invest a little here, but it turned out to be pretty sour.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why was that?
Well, the person handling it for him just decided that he would have the better advantage, and things just didn't go right.
I see. Because I remember some pictures of, they're sort of around, like, Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, yes.
And there's
St. Andrews.
Is St. Andrews Place, yes. Yes. Was that one of his properties?
Yes, that was one of them.
What was that business, the building there?
I believe, right now, of course, it's Sinclair Paints, but at that time, I can't recall what the business was, but it was right across from the Sears in Hollywood.
And so he wanted to be kind of in real estate.
Yes, and there was another Stop and Shop market right alongside there by Sears Roebuck. So he had all sorts of ambitions, but it just didn't work out too well.
Did your family, there was a, was the flower mart downtown? was there, I'm just trying to remember that, at like 9th Street?
Yes, between 8th and 9th on Wall Street.
So that was the central flower market?
Yes.
And so every day your family would take the flowers there?
Yes, that's how it worked.
Did you ever go?
Every so often, if we needed to go shopping for clothes before school started, we needed shoes or we needed some clothes for school, my dad would take us on the truck with the flour, which meant getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning in those days. And we would wait until after he finished all his business of selling the flowers. And then he would take us into Little Tokyo to this dry goods store. And that would be quite a day for us because we just didn't get to go shopping any other way or any other time because of their being so busy.
Now, can you tell me again which year you were born?
1919.
Uh-huh. Do you remember the Great Depression?
Yes, in the 30s.
Yes. How did that affect your family? Do you remember?
Well, as I recall, the Yokohama Specie Bank, which was on San Pedro between 1st and 2nd, which is now or was the Bank of Tokyo. You know, I'm not even familiar who has that property. But the Yokohama Specie Bank building was part of Dad's investment of all the hard work that he did raising sweet peas. And it was a partnership, I think it was two or three other people, which he bought out and wholly owned. But then the war came on, and of course, all assets were frozen. And so eventually, he lost everything. And the building, as it is now, has changed hands so many times. But that was on a 99-year leasehold. Now, the corner of San Pedro and 2nd Street, there was a little tiny piece of property that he actually owned. And Mother had it for quite some time, just before her passing away in 1980. She finally sold it to one that was very interested in having it. For years and years, he was very interested, and she finally let it go. But that was all a result of their hard work that day. And so this happened during the Depression in it was in the early 30s that he was able to scrimp and save and take over this building. But as it turned out, Pearl Harbor just took everything, and that was the end of that. And of course we lost Dad in the meantime after being relocated once in camp and then out into Minnesota where I was. The fact that he had that property meant a lot to him, but in 1945, when he came back, and he and at that time my husband and I came back to Los Feliz and managed to get a portion of the land just to grow flowers, but my father took ill, and in 1945 he passed on. But I know that they were very, I remember how hard we had to try to save and not to spend any money on any unnecessary things at that time.
What do you remember then? You were saying that your family was relocated. What happened exactly then for you during World War II?
Well, as you know, everyone had to be evacuated. And here we had this acreage and all our equipment. And so we put it into a barn, locked it up. But of course, during the course of the war, there wasn't a thing left. Not one item was in there when we came back after the war. And so we started from scratch and was able to take over little bits of land, which grew into 44 acres again, and we were able to grow flowers until 1961, when the property was finally sold.
What year was it that you were evacuated?
Evacuation was 1942, actually. Pearl Harbor was December 41. And in 42, I think it was around April, when we all had to leave the West Coast.
Everybody you knew, what was the different experiences of people you knew in the community?
Well, all the families lost whatever they had, and whatever they designated for someone to hold for them, I'm sure some of those people that did so found that they were carefully put away, whatever their valuables were. But in our case, there just wasn't hardly anything left.
What did you take with you when you left?
Oh, they had a list of items. For instance, for the mess hall, they asked that we buy a tin plate and a cup so that we could get our food, line up, and then just the bare essentials, I don't even remember anymore, but we just tried to take whatever we felt was necessary, mostly in clothing. And of course, any items like knives or scissors or things of that nature were confiscated as we came into the camps, sites, the people that regulated all of that.
Did you go with your parents and your brother?
Yes, as a family, we were able to do that.
Oh, you weren't married yet?
No.
Which camp did you go to?
We went to Gila, Arizona. First, it was the Santa Anita Assembly Center. Immediately after we were asked to evacuate.
How long were you there?
And I believe maybe a couple, 3 months. I don't even remember. And then they...
What was happening there?
We had... as the people were brought in, they were assigned to these little bungalows. And, of course, some of them ended up in the horse barns, which was really another story altogether.
Why was that?
Because if you've ever been in a horse stall, you could imagine the smell, and even after you clean it, I imagine we weren't in one of those, fortunately.
That's where they had to sleep and stay.
That's right. And I believe we were there maybe it's longer. I don't remember. April, May, June, July. Maybe 4 months. Because I remember that then we were transferred by train. And we went into Gila, Arizona, a very remote part of the state.
Is that by Gila Bend?
Yes. That's where And these were built to house all of the evacuees. But they had a main kitchen and community shower and toilets.
How long were you there?
Well, I was there only 6 months because my reason was to get married, and at that time, Art was in Chicago, Rockford, Illinois, as a serviceman, and that was one of the reasons that it was either getting married or going to school that they gave permits to leave. And so we were one of the first to leave camp. So my life in camp was a very short one.
And so you had met Art as your husband?
Yes.
When did you meet him?
In August of 1941, right after I came back from Japan. I was in Japan 2 years, and it just so happened that the embassy there had asked us Niseis to all please leave about 6 months before then.
Why was that?
Well, they repeatedly sent letters from the embassy asking us to leave. And, of course, we were not aware of what was going to be happening. And when I came back, it was just around the 4th of July, and, of course, that same year in December was Pearl Harbor. But that's when I met Art, and we kept communicating, and the families all agreed that this was wonderful, and so by mail. So when I left camp and we got married in Camp Grant, Illinois, there was no family. It was just the people that were there in camp, in the on the post.
Oh, Camp Grant was military base?
Yes.
And did the rest of your family have to stay at Gila?
Oh, yes. They stayed, I believe, 2 years.
So, and what about your husband's family? Where were they?
His family was all in Japan. He had brothers there. Well, he had one brother here. The other was in Japan, and he was serving in the Japanese Army.
Oh, was he Issei?
No, actually he was born here, so he would be an Issei, but he, remember they used to have dual citizenship, and this is a case before Art went into service, he dropped the Japanese citizenship, because you're recorded no matter what, the, office in Japan records you, and, so that went on as, something that was just ordinary until the service came along, and so he dropped the citizenship in Japan, but his brother held both, and I'm not exactly sure whether he dropped his American citizenship when he was asked to serve in the Japanese Army.
So, but then how did he end up in the American military?
Oh, he was in the service in Saipan and Guam and the territories in that area, Okinawa, until the war ended.
Oh, I see. Oh, wait, I'm still a little bit confused. So your husband?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was in the Japanese Army?
Oh, no, no. He was serving in America.
Yeah, right. Oh, are you talking about his brother?
His brother served for the Japanese Army.
Oh, my gosh.
And as it turns out, after they communicated, after the war was over, he found that he was well. And he wouldn't have been quite so fortunate, but he had a little accident with the horse kicking him, ended up in the hospital, and all his other buddies went to the Philippines, and they all vanished. And so it just happened that he was fine, and his father. But those are things you don't know until after it's all over.
Was that very difficult for your husband to feel his family divided in that way?
I imagine there was a lot of thought, but you know, you just do what you can for your country, and then he came back. They asked if he wanted to stay in Japan. He said no, he'd rather...